Mail call!
Mailbag with Jeremy and Joe.
You've got mail.
What's your question for us? He's Joe, I'm Jeremy. It's our mailbag, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Mailbag, Jeremy and Joe. What's y'all's go-to taco? We discussed this in great detail yesterday, but you probably weren't with us. That's okay.
Yep. Steak, cilantro, onion, green sauce. That's what I did.
You know what's funny is yesterday I went to a La Panza Feliz, and I ordered everything but a taco.
What'd you get?
My wife got a quesadilla. Okay. I got a torta and a burrito. Oh,
torta is so good.
Which, I mean, a burrito is basically a big taco.
That's true.
Yeah. I like quesadillas more than tacos. Honestly.
Do you?
Yeah.
Four.
It's the palate of a child.
You ever get the tacos from Chipotle?
No. No. I can't remember the last time I got a taco from Chipotle. I always do the bowls.
I feel like they put... I feel like it's a good bang for your buck.
So, I saw a dude on TikTok who was, like, doing a Chipotle hack.
Okay.
Where he got, like... He got, like, a taco, which I think a taco there is, like, $3 maybe.
Yeah.
Like, one taco. And then he got everything you could put on it. I think he got double protein, and he got all the sides on the side. And then he asked for an extra tortilla, like a burrito tortilla.
And he just made a burrito.
And then he stuffed the taco in the burrito and then put all the sides with it.
Yeah.
And goes, here you go. Here's the burrito hack for just $5.
I've also heard people say that, like, they don't charge for double rice and double beans.
Oh, really?
So people, like, will, like, they'll basically get two burritos, and then, like, they'll make the chicken at home.
Oh, really?
But they'll just do like, so they'll do like a bowl for as cheap as possible.
That's like funny.
Veggies, rice, that's it. Beans. And then they'll make chicken or steak at home and then make it, like do it, make your own burrito at home. It's a great idea.
That's funny.
Or you could be like Sean Mapes and he orders Chipotle and he orders it from the wrong Chipotle.
No way.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
He says he does like the pickup order.
And he chooses in the wrong zip code?
He puts in like the one by work instead of the one by his house. So he gets there and there's no Chipotle waiting for him.
That's crazy. No, that's the go-to taco here. 713-780-3776. What's your question for Jeremy and Joe? Junkie, what is the most disturbing movie you have ever watched? Not scary, but disturbing.
I mean, he gives some recommendations, and I think mine's on here.
Really? Which one?
Schindler's List.
I've never watched that.
I think I watched it in school.
It was a Seinfeld episode about that.
Was that in college? Maybe it was in high school.
No, I didn't watch that.
The McDonald's documentary really messed me up for about 10 minutes, and then I went and got McDonald's.
Oh, disturbing that way?
Yeah.
Well, how about like Blackfish? You ever seen that?
Yes.
Where like they're like messing with these orcas? That's kind of disturbing.
I for some reason, I've watched that documentary a bunch of times. I think it's really well done.
I've watched it once. That's all you need.
But that's disturbing.
Multiple times?
You know what I watched? I watched last night.
All the Saws are disturbing.
Yeah, it's not a movie, but the documentary I watched last night was The Killing Fields.
Oh, is that the one here in
yep.
The greater? Yeah, I watched that a couple
years
ago.
Yeah, it was like
ago.
Right by my old house
yeah.
in League City.
I don't think they're killing them anymore.
No, no, but yeah.
Yeah, there was like, they would just dump bodies in this killing fields up of, 45,
it's,
right?
Yes, it's right in League City.
I didn't even know about that.
Dude, it's probably like not far from us, Andrew.
The documentary's a few years old.
Yeah, but it was kind of, I was like, oh, I recognize those street signs.
There's a lot of disturbing ones. That's a good point about the McDonald's one.
Yeah.
Any sort of diet food stuff is weird, is disturbing.
Yeah. Saw's a good one. Those movies are messed up.
Yeah. I mean, even like Kill Bill, like the way that it like splashes out the blood and stuff.
Yeah.
That's kind of disturbing. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Pena, what's your question for Jeremy and Joe?
Hey, what's up, guys? So start bench cut, tacos, a burger, or pizza. Start bench cut. Thank you. Have a great day.
It's easy for me.
I'm starting pizza.
Okay.
I'm benching tacos, cutting burgers.
Mine's the exact opposite, I think.
Really?
I don't ever crave pizza.
I do.
Like, you're from Chicago, it makes sense. Like, I never crave pizza. Like, I like it when it's there, but I'm never like, let's get pizza. So I would easily cut pizza.
Mm-hmm.
I probably start a cheeseburger. I love cheeseburgers. Cheeseburgers are my absolute favorite. And look, love me some tacos, but you got some alternate options whenever you go to like I said.
Yeah.
You go a little torta, a little burrito, you're not missing anything.
So, can't really replace a burger.
You can't replace a cheeseburger.
No, you can't.
No.
I think they're just like, they kind of make me sick looking at them right now because of my son. He just does some, he's weird. He doesn't eat the bun. He gets a plain.
That's good.
He gets a plain hamburger. No cheese, no ketchup, no mustard, no onion, no nothing. He just eats the patty.
With cheese or no?
No.
Just the meat.
He just goes patty.
I mean, he's little Joe's on the keto diet.
It's just protein.
It's just strange. I watch
it's
him
not
do
a
it.
Bad thing to
no,
do.
No, it's
though.
Not. But I watch him do it. I'm like, can we try the bun?
No, don't. It's a great habit.
I'm like,
don't make him eat the bun. Why would you do that?
I feel like you're missing something with
no,
the bun.
No, if he gets into that habit where he's not eating the it's like the enriched wheat or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
It's like awful for you. It's like one of the worst things in the world for you.
I'm sure it is, but
Calder Drive is the road, says a junkie.
Oh, Calder?
Yeah.
Oh,
man.
What's a common misconception about your job as a radio host? That's like a legit real question.
That everything that happens here is my fault. And I'm to blame.
It's mostly true, though.
It's not.
I don't
know.
I don't know if that's a misconception.
It's not. It's not why I'm in this seat right now.
I think it's the.
That the signal is my fault.
I think it's.
I get blamed for the signal all the time. People say, "Do your job, Joe." I can't do anything.
Yeah, my mind would probably be like, "Oh, it's easy." This is a hard way to make a fun living. Very, very fun. Hard way to make a fun living. Mm-hmm. Also, the work that goes into it. Like a lot of people, oh, you're only there for 3 hours. I spend my entire morning, and really even after I get off work, thinking about the next day.
Yep. Watching the games.
Like, there's something on Twitter. Would that be interesting to talk about? Like, it doesn't stop. Like, when I get home, I try to do this, but a lot of times I can't. Like, if the Astros are playing, if the Rockets, like, I'll watch the Rockets on DVR tomorrow. Texans are playing. I have to, like, literally, in my brain, flip the switch off.
Yep.
Like, okay, turning it off for a couple hours. Turning it off for the rest of the night. But it's the hours for sure is the common misconception.
100%. There's way more work that goes into it than people realize. It's a great job. I would never change it. But there's just way more that goes into it than people think.
Mm-hmm. Like travel too, like the U of H stuff. Little Joe and my son would go perfect together. He eats a burger with no meat. They would share it. That'd be good. This text you're saying, AJ, where's my tickets to Dewberry Farms?
They'll be emailed out eventually.
I've seen potential restructuring of NFL divisions, and they make a lot of sense. What do y'all think is the possibility of that ever happening? I haven't seen any of these. Have you?
No, but I would imagine it's going to be... I think there will be a restructure when they expand.
Do you think they're going to?
Yeah, I think they'll expand at some point.
Why?
They like 30, money?
No, this is the perfect setup right now.
I do agree.
32 teams is perfect. They don't need to expand.
Like NHL is going to expand. And they're going to go to like 36 teams.
That's insane.
But the reason for it is because they want to have the same amount of teams in the United States of America that everyone else has. They want to have you know, 28, 30 teams in America.
What a terrible reason.
And then six teams in Toronto. They feel like they're missing markets. Oh. I mean, Buchagross was dropping hints about Houston and Atlanta again, which I think is crazy.
Would he know Buchagross?
Yeah.
He would be in the know?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
I've heard Houston's coming at some point.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. I don't know when, but they're going to expand by four teams.
You like hockey?
Yeah.
Would you be all in on a Houston team? How much hockey would we talk if they brought NHL to Houston?
I don't know.
Segment a day?
No, I don't think so.
Why isn't this guy playing on the third line?
Because
he needs to be bumped up to the second line.
If you expand that much, the teams aren't going to be good. I think that's the problem. Like, I think for hockey to work in Houston, like to really, really work, you need similar to what happened with Vegas. Not to go to the Stanley Cup your first year, but like that's why it works in Vegas, because they were awesome. It's worked in Seattle really well. But like, I think for it to work, Tillman has to buy it, first of all.
Why?
Because I think if someone else buys it and rents out Toyota Center from Tillman, the prices are going to go up even higher. And it's going to price people out right away.
Why did LeClerc try the two-line pass?
I think it just depends if they're good or not.
What do they call coaches? Is there any like nickname for hockey coaches?
I don't think so.
Like soccer coaches or managers are called gaffers. Like, is there a term for that for hockey?
Not that I remember.
I would be all in, man. I would take a.
I would enjoy it.
All in.
It would give me a reason to watch hockey again, because it's the one thing from Chicago that I dropped.
Really?
I don't have time.
See, I enjoy hockey whenever I watch it. I just don't go out of my way to watch it. But if there was a team in Houston, how do you keep the ice from melting in Houston? It's a good point.
It doesn't melt in Florida.
This humidity? What's an irrational fear of y'all's, Eric the Buyer?
I don't know if it's irrational, but heights.
I'm okay with heights as long as I'm not standing still.
Okay.
If I'm in
So you're okay with like roller coasters?
Yeah, but like dungeon drops, never really like love those. Like I'm totally fine with roller coasters, but like the dungeon drop where like they take you up there and they leave you there for like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Don't love that. Yes. But I fly a lot. Like if I'm in movement, it doesn't really bother me. See, but if I'm just like there, planted, don't love that.
Flying doesn't bother me, but like roller coasters, really tall buildings.
You don't get close to the window?
Honestly, I don't love...
Did you go to the Sears Tower in Chicago?
Yeah,
we did. You know they have the little overhang?
My wife made me do it.
Yeah, I've done it.
I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I like it was. I thought though
it is kind of very weird because you can see straight down.
But it's better than I think being in the gift shop area because on a windy day the building sways.
Interesting.
So like I could feel the building moving a little bit when I was on the glass. I didn't feel as much.
That's an uncomfortable feeling.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
You're up that high. And it starts to move on you. That is a bit uncomfortable. Yeah. Mine's probably death, Eric the Buyer, or public speaking. Best cut of steak as Wheat Straw.
I'm a strip guy. That's what I can afford.
Okay, that makes more sense. My favorite's a ribeye. Now, if you want to get really specific, give me a little ribeye cap. Ooh, baby. You get some fillets, though, that are tremendous.
Fillets are very good.
Yeah, so it depends. I think some places do a certain cut better than others as well. But if I had to pick one traditional cut, I would go ribeye. Fillet would be a close second. If you allow me to get a little bit wild, give me a little ribeye cap.
Okay.
A ribeye cap is fantastic. Would either one of you stab a former professional football quarterback if the situation deemed it absolutely necessary?
Yes.
No doubt about it. If my wife was in danger and a former... You done it, AJ?
You're saying, yeah, if my life's on the line.
I thought you said you've done it.
No.
Well, we need to know about you.
No.
Absolutely. That would be easy.
Yeah.
I wouldn't bat an eye. Would not bat an eye. If my life, a family member's life, was in danger...
Not even a question.
100 stabs.
Now, the problem is I don't typically carry a knife.
Yeah, one would have to get, like, knocked away.
Yeah. I would need Mark Sanchez to have a knife already to defend myself.
Very seldom are fun jobs easy. Most people don't put in the work to get to have a job they look forward to going to. That's a good point. AFC South, for example, Dallas, Houston, New Orleans. I forgot the fourth.
No.
You get the point. That would be fun. That would be fun. I've seen a lot in baseball, obviously. Actually going to do it in baseball.
Who would the other team be? Dallas, Houston, New Orleans, Atlanta?
It could be Atlanta. That would be a good one, actually. That'd be a fun division. That'd be really fun.
What's wrong, AJ? You want to play the Texans twice a year?
Oh, I'm not worried about that.
Wouldn't that be a fun division, though? Like, you could travel to every road game.
Yeah.
Atlanta wouldn't be driving distance, but you could drive to New Orleans very easy. And then the food in New Orleans? That'd be so much fun. What a great division that would be.
I just like how the NFL is now.
Honestly. Yeah, fair. That's how I feel about baseball. Like, they're talking about, like, these... Yeah, I don't like these realignment projected divisions. They don't... I don't like them. Call me a traditionalist.
With Vegas and... Because of Vegas and...
I think for me it's more the American National League thing.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't like it either. I don't think the Mets and the Yankees should be in the same division.
Does Louisiana deserve... Oh, my bad. Go ahead.
I think you can realign, but that stuff I think should keep separate as much as possible.
I think so too, man.
They also keep putting the Astros in the West still. Like I saw someone text this in earlier. They hate West Coast baseball. If they put the Astros in a division with three teams in the West Coast plus them and the Rangers, it's gonna be awful. They're gonna be playing at 9 o'clock half the season.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
Yeah.
Selfishly.
Everyone forgets the Arrows in the Summit. No, we don't forget.
It's also not the same.
If Joe's scared of heights, he can never do my job as a tower crane operator.
Fact.
Wow, Wheat Straw. That's pretty cool. Do you listen to us while you're up in the tower?
Great question.
That'd be awesome if he did. Do either of you utilize the emergency tortilla, where you put an extra tortilla down on your plate to catch any of the debris that falls from the tacos you're eating, so you end up with a bonus taco at the end?
No, I just go fork after.
I just so
scoop it up.
My,
but I like the idea.
My grandpa, I call him Papi, but my grandma, my abuela, she would make tortillas every single day. Every single day she'd make tortillas, which is not easy. She would make homemade tortillas from scratch every single day. So every single one of his meals, he would always have a plate, and he would always have the emergency tortilla.
Okay.
And a lot of times you would like either like cut the meat, put it like in a, like not even the full tortilla. Like you would tear off pieces of the tortilla, put in a piece of like meat, maybe throw in some rice, throw in some beans, whatever you're eating. Mm-hmm. And then you take little bite-sized like tacos.
Okay.
So you have a full tortilla. You cut it into little pieces with your hands, and you use it to, like, kind of scoop things up, make a little bite, like a taco bite, like a mini taco. So he would do that all the time.
That's
he also
smart.
Had a jalapeno on the other hand.
That's smart.
He would always have a pepper on the other hand, too. Yeah, he was, yeah, that's how he would eat all of his meals. She hasn't made homemade tortillas in a long time. Do you have china in your house?
In a box.
Branham Kid has a globe.
We have a box of like fine china that we got for our wedding that we never opened.
Fine china.
Yeah.
You didn't catch my joke.
Nope.
Most overrated fair food.
What's the powdered sugar one?
Funnel cake?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's good, but I think people talk about it like it's the best thing ever. I don't know.
I like funnel cake all right. I don't love like massively deep fried foods usually, although I love French fries and like fried chickens and wings. But I don't love a lot of fair food. Like my favorite fair food might be a turkey leg.
Yeah, I don't need all the new deep fried stuff. I don't know if I need all of it. Like deep fried ice cream, that's weird to me. Deep fried cheesecake's legit though. Or the Oreos.
Deep fried cheesecake I've never had.
It's very good.
Really?
I'm feeling fat right now.
Guy in the tower crane is probably the only person who gets a good signal. Turkey leg is my favorite. So, these people are saying turkey leg overrated. No way. Corn dog overrated. I don't mind a corn dog.
See, it's not the reason why I think as a fair food it's overrated is because kind of get them wherever you want, right?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like you can get corn dogs at a lot of places.
I never get a corn dog from a fair. Actually, yeah. Now that I think about it, like the only time I get corn dogs are like from Sonic when they're like a quarter. You know, they have like their 25-cent corn dog day. That's the only time I'll ever get a corn dog.
We typically have corn dogs in the house, in the freezer.
Oh, really?
Mini corn dogs.
Why? For who?
Joseph. Me.
Does he take off the bread?
No.
Just eat the hot dog?
Sometimes, yes.
Tyler and Conroe, would you rather be a pitcher who throws absolute filth or hit like peak Barry Bonds?
I think I want to hit like Barry.
And that's an easy answer for
me. I don't want to be out for a year and a half.
Easy answer. I mean, if you hit like Barry Bonds, you're the greatest hitter ever.
Yeah, or like if you're peak JV or Clemens.
Like, could you imagine you just have like 70 homers in a season? Like, you just had that in the bag.
Would you rather be Pedro or Griffey?
Oh, man. Probably Griffey.
Yeah, Griffey.
Probably Griffey. I love Pedro, though. Pedro's probably my favorite pitcher of that era.
I have a take on those guys. I think they're the two best players in baseball history.
Okay, that's insane.
Can I explain why?
Yeah, but I'm not going to buy it.
Because they did what they did clean, to our knowledge.
See, you don't know that.
I know, but to our knowledge,
see,
they're
that's,
clean.
I hate this argument. Because it's like nitpicking what you think is clean and what's not clean. Like, why? How do you know they're clean?
They never popped for steroids? They were never on the list?
I almost said somebody in Houston never popped for steroids. Do you think that there were dudes who never were on a report or on a list who used?
Potentially.
Potentially?
Yes, there are.
What do you mean, potentially?
But they weren't on the list. They weren't on the list.
So you're just going to take
the... I'm going off the list.
Only the list.
Taking the list. And they weren't on it.
Was Barry Bonds on the Mitchell Report?
Yeah.
Or was he different?
I think he was on the Mitchell Report.
I don't remember. Because he wasn't the dude in Congress.
Like, no,
the people
no,
in Congress...
Palmero and Sosa.
McGuire, Sosa, Palmero. Who's the other? There was another, I think. I think there was a fourth.
Wasn't it?
But even
was
then...
Was it Pudge?
No, it wasn't Pudge. But even then, like, you think that Pedro Martinez was greater than Babe Ruth or Henry Aaron or Willie Mays?
Pitching? He did it against all these guys that were cheating.
Bob Gibson, Nolan Ryan?
He did it against all these guys that were cheating. He was dominating them. They were all cheating.
You just told me that only the people on the list count.
Yeah,
so you're telling me that in one argument, in one breath, only the people on the list count, but then whenever you're talking about Pedro Martinez as the argument is the greatest starter ever, everybody was cheating.
He was dominant
you're
against...
You're talking out both sides of your mouth.
Yeah, he was dominant against the steroid guys.
Like Griffey?
Griffey wasn't a steroid guy.
How do you know that?
I'm just in my mind.
That whole era just is like, I don't know, man. It's tarnished.
It's hard to differentiate.
What's a piece of advice you were given early in your career that you initially ignored but later realized was incredibly valuable? Probably networking for me.
I don't know. That's a good question.
I'm not a great networker because I don't really like to communicate and talk and network, I guess.
Yeah.
My Uncle Jamie told me when we were playing basketball once, never forget where the goal's at. And then I also applied that to life. Look at that. Look at that.
I don't know. I don't think I got a lot of great advice in my career.
People would really let me down. people from Oklahoma love baseball. Why has a pro team never been discussed there?
I think Oklahoma City would make a lot of sense for a pro baseball team.
I think the market's kind of small.
Yeah, but I think that's what baseball should do if they're going to expand, is they should be going to markets, making smaller stadiums, passionate fan bases, Portland, San Antonio, OKC, like where it's really working in the NBA. I think they should follow that model. I don't think they have to go to Vegas, and they're going, obviously. I think they have to go to Nashville. They're going to go. Like, I think like the smaller markets make more sense, even for the NHL expansion.
Beef fajita or chicken fajitas?
Beef.
Yeah, that's an easy answer. I'm kind of insulted by the question, really.
I do like to do a mixed bag. If I order both,
not me.
I'll put them both in the same fajita.
Deep fried turducken. Have you ever had a turducken?
No,
I haven't either. Fried cheesecake is phenomenal. What is your favorite way to serve chili? For me, it's toss up between Frito pie or over cornbread. Yes. All that. I don't mind it over a little bit of white rice from time to time.
Yeah, I like the white rice. I go typically, I like the Frito pie.
If Frito pie's good, I'd want to pitch like Randy Johnson. You haven't lived until you've had a corn dog from Bridge City Walmart in the 409, I guess. You know what? You know what my guilty pleasure is from that, like, that little Walmart snack thing? Egg roll. You ever had an egg roll from the little, you know what I'm talking about? The Walmart, when you walk in, they have their rotisserie chicken, they have a corn dog, they have like knockoff Chick-fil-A nuggets.
Yeah.
Every now and then they'll sneak in a corn dog or an egg roll.
I get the hot dogs.
Not bad.
I get the hot dogs.
The egg roll's not bad. Beans and chili, yes or no?
Yes. I know that's not popular down here.
Either way, man.
It's what I grew up on, so like for me it's a yes.
They're both good, and beans are going to help fill you up. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
This texture says Bagwell Roids. You said that, not me. Respect to him, but we need to stop acting like anyone in the Babe Ruth era was better than anyone in today's game. See, that kind of depends on if you're talking like back of baseball card or if you're talking about the actual talent of a player. Because I think those are two separate arguments. Like, I think there's the resume, and then I think there's like the player's talent. Because who was more talented, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady?
Peyton.
Who was more talented, Josh Allen? Tom Brady.
Josh Allen.
But who has the greatest resume of all time? Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Like, is Babe Ruth a better physical baseball specimen over Barry Bonds?
No.
No. Is he a bigger specimen than Mike Trout?
Nope.
Absolutely not. Is the back of his baseball card better than Trout's? Yeah.
And that's where, like, I think that even goes like the LeBron Jordan stuff, that LeBron's the better athlete than Jordan, but he's still the GOAT.
Huh?
Jordan's the GOAT.
I think so.
Over LeBron.
Jack in the Box egg rolls are the best. They do have good egg rolls there.
Never tried that.
Jack in the Box egg rolls are pretty good. Yeah, they're pretty good. What do you put in an egg roll? Anything? Or dip in it? Anything?
Gosh, I'm pretty open.
Okay.
I'm like, I don't really.
Good to know.
If you put a good egg roll in front of me, I'm probably going to try it. I love egg rolls.
I like it with soy sauce. I like soy sauce in my egg roll.
I like the sweet and sour sauce usually.
See, I don't like sweet and sour.
I like it for egg rolls. It's the only thing I really eat it with.
Is there any way the Astros run it back with Walker and Paredes still on the roster?
Yes.
I actually predict that's going to happen. It's not what I would do, but I think they're both going to be back.
I think they're both going to be back too, unfortunately.
What's more difficult to do, a one-handed catch in the NFL or a bicycle kick in soccer?
The bicycle kick?
I go bicycle kick easy.
Because I think if you bought like the... Do I get the sticky gloves that they wear in the NFL?
Probably, yeah.
And how hard, like...
See, I don't even know if I can, like, contort my body to even attempt a bicycle kick.
Yeah, I can't. That's why I have to say one-handed catch.
I can make a one-handed catch.
Even though, have you seen the video of, was it Jalen Milroe? Some guy, like was dropping off a package for him, and he said, throw me a pass, and he whipped it at this dude, like, full speed, and it looked like a rocket coming out of his hand. So, no, if it's that, no. Like, if it's like Davis Mills?
You need a guy with a little bit of touch.
Yeah, like Davis Mills, I think I could catch a one-handed pass.
Maybe dude, CJ. I can't even contort my body to even attempt a bicycle kick. There's no way that is easier than a one-handed catch.
No, I'm not.
No
my,
chance.
My legs aren't getting high enough to get the ball to go anywhere.
No.
The ball's probably going straight up in the air.
No. No. Any good AAA player today is better than Babe Ruth. Again, it's back. Like, there's two different conversations. There's resume. There's actual current then ability. Two different conversations, because Babe Ruth has one of the greatest resumes of all time. Do I think Babe Ruth could hit Tariq Skubal? No, I don't.
Do you think he actually called a shot? I saw someone ask this the other day of us. Like, which game would you want to go back to? I think for me, it's that.
That game?
I kind of want to know. There's also no video proof of Wilt scoring 100 points, so.
Yeah.
I'd like to be there for that one. See it actually happen.
I don't know what game I'd want to go back to. That'd be a good call, because then you could talk about it.
Probably 2017, honestly.
Yeah, but I don't want to go back to that era. Like, that era wasn't that great. Like,
nope, I'm thinking the Astros game. The Dodgers.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be cool. Oh, in L.A.?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you might not come out alive.
Game 7, 2016 for me.
Uncle Barney says he didn't call it. How do you know, Uncle Barney? Were you there? All right, 713-780-3776. That's our mailbag. Let's talk about the Stros. What would you do with these arbitration-eligible guys? You moving on from a couple? You keeping them all? We'll discuss next. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Decisions are tough. They're stressful. They're going to cause you anxiety, all that. They're going to make your hair gray. That's why you got to get out to Two Creeks Crossing Resort. One, it's an easy answer. What should we do this weekend? What should I do tomorrow? Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. It's a simple answer. You're going to get the rest and relaxation you're looking for. It is fantastic. Escape the city. Enjoy the relaxing great outdoors. From the open green spaces, the wildlife you just don't see in the city. Beautiful, majestic trees, if that's your thing. Some of the best fishing in Texas. They got the Two Creeks right on the property. They got the big catch and release pond in the middle of the property. You're going to love it. You can hike their 92 acres of property, do some kayaking, play some pickleball, hang out by the pool with a drink, hang out outside of the pool with a drink. It's only 90 minutes from Houston. You can escape the city without traveling too far at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. That's where all of you are doing wrong. You're wasting all of your time off traveling. You're going to the airport 3 hours before the flight. You're flying 3 hours. You're renting a car, driving two more. Why would you waste your time? You're driving 5.5 hours somewhere. You don't need to do that. You're there in 90 minutes from Houston. You can be at Two Creeks Crossing Resort enjoying your time, the rest and relaxation, in an hour and a half. They got glamping for you. They got the cabins on the creeks. We stayed in the treehouse and we went there. You'll love it. You have an RV? Perfect RV hookup spot. They have the perfect stay for anyone. And right now, 20% off through October. So take advantage of that. They're always taking care of their visitors, too. This weekend, for instance, they got Bonfire and S'mores on Friday. Who doesn't love that? They got a fall festival, live music on Saturday. Go to Swampers. Watch your college football. You're not missing a snap. So book your stay now at TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com. That's TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com.
This is ESPN 97.5. Listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. Junkie on the text line. For as bad as his OPS was, Walker ended the year around 25 homers, 85 RBIs with good defense. We've experienced worse at first base. His defense went down a little bit. He didn't grade out the good defensively, but better to Abreu. Uncle Barney's on the Walker side, too. Walker led the team in barrels, twice as many as Paredes. I bet on Walker next year.
Hmm.
But Walker did have a good barrel rate, 81st percentile for Christian Walker. Paredes was in the 27th percentile. Paredes' baseball savant is so weird because, like, he doesn't find barrels. He doesn't really hit the ball hard. All the metrics on him are low, with the exception of he does not chase out of the strike zone. He doesn't swing and miss. He walks a ton and he doesn't strike out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is weird. He's a weird baseball savant guy.
It's very strange. And he's in the perfect ballpark too for him.
For sure.
Like, that's why the Cubs moved on from him, because he was terrible there last year. As soon as they got him, like, he wasn't good. And then, like, he's perfect for Houston.
Yeah. Like, I hear you on the Walker thing too, but, for me, it's just where, one, you have a position player surplus.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to make a decision there. Paredes isn't making much money. Christian Walker's making 20. I'd rather spend that money on pitching because it's a bigger need.
I do feel like Paredes, though, you know, when Dana Brown talked about trading for an arm, I think Paredes might be your piece that helps you do it.
I don't know, man.
I just feel like there's a contending team that maybe they feel like they have a surplus of starting pitching that feels like Paredes can help them.
The thing with Paredes, though, is you don't know about his hamstring. So, like, yeah, that's very dangerous for a team to be trading for a guy who has one bad wheel. And, like, you don't know if that's a ticking time bomb. You don't know if he can only play first base.
Yeah.
I don't know how much value he has.
Yeah, because honestly, like, my initial thought when he started coming back was we would hear pretty quickly after the season if there was going to be a surgery.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't hear that stuff. I mean, like, we didn't know about Lance McCullers' setbacks until after spring training even started.
Uh-huh.
So it's like if there is a setback, like, you have to get medically cleared, which, I mean, so you could in theory make trades and say, you know, the Astros have traded Paredes for X starting pitcher, but
yeah, I think it's going to be
medicals.
I think it's going to be Yiner. I think it'll be Yiner.
And then you're bringing back.
I think you re-sign Caratini, sign a defensive first catcher.
That makes sense.
I think that's how you attack a starter. Like maybe Yiner, one of these left-handed outfielders you have, young left-handed outfielders you have, like a Melton. Because Melton might be blocked if you really like Zach Cole. Like if you really like Zach Cole, why do you need Jacob Melton? They're kind of the same guy, but you think higher of one over the other.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think of Bryce Matthews? Do you think Bryce Matthews can be a starter at the big league level? If you don't, well, you probably need to trade him. The sooner the better. So, like, he could be one of those guys that'd be involved in a package like that. They're going to have to figure something out. My motive to move Walker is I want to free up the money. It's not so much that I think Walker's going to be a bum next year, because I actually think that Walker could have a solid season next season. And he did show some good stuff this year. Overall, the season was not good, but showed, you know, some good stuff. Really good on the road. Really bad at home, which is bizarre and weird. Maybe it's the whole batter's eye thing again. But I want to repurpose the money there. But that's why I draw the line. Like, if somebody's like, okay, I'll take Walker, but you're paying 15 of the 20 million. No, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, just keep him then at that point. What's the number?
I think it's 10 for me. 10? Yeah, because you can find a good reliever, really good reliever for $10
million. Mm-hmm.
Like $10 million 1 year. You trade Walker for air. You eat 10 of his $20 million, and then you repurpose the $10 million on a quality seventh inning guy.
You might be able to find a good starter with the way the Astros operate. Like you might be able to find someone for $10 million that you really like that you can unlock a little bit.
I went through the free agent pitchers earlier today, and I'll tell you who I like. I don't know if you can do that. This free agent starting pitching class isn't great.
It's not.
It isn't great.
It's fine, but there's a lot of risk in this market. Like Jordan Montgomery is a good guy who's got some risk to him. Right, like
he didn't pitch at all.
Yeah, like do you want to bet on, like, could you get him for $5 million because he didn't pitch at all?
Maybe.
And you want to take that flyer? Like maybe.
Yeah.
You know, like what do you? That's nothing against Fromber, but he's by far the best guy.
Yeah, I think. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. So these salary arbitration guys for the Astros, what do you do with them? They're 16 arbitration eligible guys. We'll just go in order here how MLB trade rumors had him. Mauricio Dubon, $5.8 million.
I'm going to pass.
So you're just going to non-tender him?
Can you? I guess you can do it and then trade him?
You can trade him, yeah. You can actually trade him before arbitration.
I mean, I'd trade him because the guy was going to come up in a little bit.
Who's your backup shortstop?
Ramon.
Do we think he can play shortstop?
I mean, if Carlos.
Does he want to do that?
But if he's your backup. Like, it's like, hey, if Peña needs a day.
Peña just missed 30-something games this year.
I mean, Carlos can play shortstop for 30 games.
So he's cool with that.
Bryce Matthews?
Because you need to have a backup shortstop. He didn't play a single inning of shortstop this year. Maybe in the minors. I think you need a backup plan at shortstop if you're willing to move on from Dubon. I'm not opposed to that, though. Like, I think you just need a plan, obviously, right? Like, what is your plan when Peña is not playing shortstop? Is it Correa? Can Arias handle? I think Arias could handle it. Because I don't want to pay Dubon close to $6 million.
Yeah, that's why. Like, I would prefer to save that $1.5 million on Urias than I would for Dubon.
See, I think you could trade him. Maybe there's fear from them, though, that they don't think they could trade him. Like, maybe it's one of those things, hey, we're going to try to trade you before this happens, and then we're going to non-tender you if we can't trade you. I think it's too much for Dubon. I think it's too much money for Dubon. Well, ideally, in a perfect world, you could trade him for a low-level prospect.
And I guess, is who's your starting second baseman?
Good question.
Because if it's Urias, then you have to keep Dubon.
Yeah.
Like then, because then he's not your backup shortstop.
So it's what you do with Altuve.
Yeah. So it's like it's how does the math work? So
yeah, they have to have that plan already decided.
Yeah. So I'm kind of assuming Altuve's back at second base here.
Because if Altuve's your left fielder and Jordan's your DH, then Urias is your second baseman and Dubon's your utility guy.
Yeah. Unless it's Matthews at second base,
he could be your utility guy,
which is possible,
or your starter, I guess.
Yeah.
I just don't like paying him close to $6 million.
Yeah, I'm a move on from Dubon. I think he's done his job well. but I don't think I'm paying him $6 million.
Okert at $2
million. Yeah, I'm keeping him.
Yeah, no doubt. Luis Garcia, 2.2.
Sorry, man. They're going to pitch again.
It's the final year of club control, too. And yeah. They've already announced he's going to be out for the year. Why would you pay him $2.2 million for literally nothing?
Yeah, I mean, he has Tommy John 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like, it's sorry.
They've already ruled him out.
Yeah.
This is they're going to non-tender him, just like they did with Jose Urquidy. Arias at 4.4 that you alluded to.
I'm keeping him.
Yeah, I like Arias. Mm-hmm. I prefer him over Dubon. And if I needed one of those guys, Arias or Dubon, just be my everyday second baseman, I prefer Arias. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're on the same page there. Brian Abreu, 5.9.
I would rather extend him,
mm-hmm.
but easily you're going with that. But extension should be the game plan here.
Harder to extend a guy going into their final year of club control than earlier, mm-hmm. but I agree with you. Aniel De Los Santos, 2.1.
I think I'm keeping him for 2.1.
See, I don't... I'm torn on Aniel.
It's low enough to where I'm okay with it.
I like Aniel. I don't mind the 2.1. My hang up here is I'm trying to find money to go out to get one of these top starters.
Yeah.
The Astros are very good at finding cheaper relievers than $2.1 million.
That's true.
So that's my dilemma. I don't dislike Aniel. I don't think that number is outrageous, but can I find a similar production for league minimum
yeah.
as opposed to 2.1 whenever I'm trying to pinch pennies to go find a starting pitcher? So that's kind of going to have to... Like, I think
it's a give and take.
We're going to have a pretty good idea pretty early in the offseason of like, okay, how much money are they trying to free up? Mm-hmm. Because I could go either way on that, but I don't mind either way.
But you're going to save $3.4 million when you say goodbye to Chaz McCormick.
Chaz, 3.4.
See ya.
They've already made the decision.
Yeah, he's gone.
They've already... Like, they sent him down to AAA at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to pay him $3.4 million. Mm-hmm. Chaz McCormick will not be on this baseball team next year. They'll probably try to find a trade partner. They probably won't be able to find one, and they'll non-tender Chaz McCormick.
It would stun me if Chaz McCormick's an Astro next year.
I think it'd be foolish. I would be blasting Dana Brown.
Yeah. Could you find a million-dollar bullpen arm for him and move on from De Los Santos and McCormick and use McCormick in a trade to find someone, maybe?
I don't even know if you need to do that. Because if you free up 3.4, you can just go find a reliever in the open market.
100%. But no, Chaz is gone.
Paredes, 9.3.
Easy stay, obviously.
See, Paredes' number isn't that cheap.
It's 9.3. Not. It's not, but I think it would be a mistake to let him go.
Jesus Sanchez, 6.5.
I'm keeping him.
Same.
I'm with you. He's the lefty bat. Maybe he's not your everyday guy. Maybe he's a utility player.
Why would you go spend $20 million on a left-handed bat and use all of your free agency money?
Unless they just have serious trade regret and they don't like him.
They might.
And that's why he could be gone. Like, we're kind of back of the baseball card in him a little bit.
There's no way I'm non-tendering Sanchez.
Yeah, now, I'm trading him.
Yeah. If you needed to move on from him, you trade him. You don't just non-tender a guy who has a 775 career OPS versus right-handed pitching.
Yeah, you'll find a trade partner for him. It's not like McCormick. It won't be hard to find a trade partner for Jesus Sanchez.
And I'm okay trading him.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need Jesus Sanchez on this baseball team. But it would be idiotic if they non-tendered a guy who has value. Mm-hmm. Jake Myers, 3.5.
Easy stay.
Jeremy Pena, 7.9.
Yep.
Hunter Brown, 5.7.
Let him go.
Yiner, 4.5.
I'm trading him.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I'm keeping him. Trade's not an option.
Wesneski, $1.5 million.
I'm definitely keeping him.
The thing with Wesneski is he still has, 3 years of club control after next year?
I mean, and he had his Tommy John. He made, one start?
I think it was four or five.
Was it really?
Yeah, he made a few.
I mean, I'm keeping him. He's part of the Tucker trade.
Remember what was weird about Wesneski's? They shut him down. They skipped a start. He made one more start and then had Tommy John.
Because you can use him. I mean, he pitched as a starter and a bullpen arm for Chicago. So, you could use him in multiple different ways. He doesn't have to be. I think he gives you some flexibility with your rotation next year when he's healthy. If he could be a guy that's in your bullpen as a long-term relief guy or a long relief guy, and then if there's an injury, he can step up into the rotation.
Even if he doesn't pitch next year, he still has 3 more years of club control.
Yeah.
So, it's like the opposite of Luis Garcia. The reason you're non-tendering Luis is because next year is his last year of club control. You still have several years of Wesneski after next year. Bennett Souza, 1.1.
He's healthy, right? I can't remember.
They said he could pitch in the playoffs.
Then, yeah, I'm keeping him.
Yeah, you're keeping him. Here, this one's tricky to me. Taylor Trammell at 900,000.
I have a hard time saying no to him. I really like him as the fourth or fifth outfielder on this team. Especially if you're going to move on from Jesus Sanchez, I think Trammell is a good backup to have. Jake Meyer struggles to stay healthy. Cam Smith struggled last year at times. Jordan doesn't stay healthy. Altuve's meh. At left field.
Yeah.
Like, I like Trammell at less than $1 million. I'd want to keep him.
I don't think you can keep both Sanchez and Tremel, especially if you think Zach Cole's going to be on the roster, which I think he will be.
So it's probably, and if you want to acquire a lefty bat, it's probably an outfielder.
And it probably takes Tremel's spot.
Yeah.
So like that, he's kind of on the roster bubble. If there's a left-handed bat other than Zach Cole, he's probably gone. But it's very cheap, $900,000 estimate. So you could keep Tremel as your fourth or fifth outfielder, trade Sanchez for a prospect, save $6.5 million.
Yeah, and like what's worst case? Like you DFA him, he goes down to the minors, and then
someone else would claim him?
I think someone would.
Like, I think so, too.
Like, we're seeing these. He got a chance here. He's going to get a chance somewhere else. He screams Colorado Rocky to me. Him and Mickey Moniak in the outfield.
Moniak was nuts.
I know.
He's like the classic case of, my goodness, Colorado fixes everybody.
Yeah.
So I went and looked at the starting pitchers that are going to be up in free agency. I have a few favorites that maybe didn't come up yesterday. Who are your favorites? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Loaded, ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
All right, so I did the deep dive on starting pitching. It's really not a great market. Like Dana Brown said at his end of thing press conference, like, hey, we're gonna trade. And it's like, well, why would you want to trade whenever you could just go sign a starting pitcher? Well, it's not a great market. To be completely honest with you, there's, I think, three clear guys at the top of the market in starting pitching. I think one's Framber Valdez. And if you read Brian McTaggart's thing today, he's like, yeah, the Astros aren't bringing back Framber.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, it's not happening. He even threw out the idea that they might not extend a qualifying offer, which I think is ludicrous.
That'd be crazy.
Like it's around $20 million for 1 year.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't you throw that out there? Like, he's going to decline that. You get the compensation once he declines it.
Yeah.
And if he signed it, good.
Yeah.
I would gladly take Framber back for 1 year, $20 million.
Yeah.
That's a no-brainer.
That would shock me if they don't do a qualifying offer.
I will riot.
Like, that would be crazy.
Like, I would be yelling at Dana Brown.
Yeah.
Like, that would be dumb.
Yeah.
How is that a question?
I don't know. Like, are they like, do they want him back? They don't want him back that much that they're worried that no one will sign him if they give him the qualifying offer and they'll get stuck with him for a year or $20 million. Is that what they're worried about? Like, it'd be hard to say 1 year, $20 million for Framber Valdez to run it back with this group one more time is a bad decision. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I think
that would be strange.
If they don't offer him the qualifying offer, I think it'd be the upset of the century. I think it'd be like Buster Douglas knocking out Mike Tyson. But the top three starters, Framber Valdez, Ranger Suarez, Dylan Cease, which I wouldn't mind the last two guys at all. Mm-hmm. Ranger Suarez, I really like him.
I really would love him.
He would be really good here, I think. His stuff is very good. He's a little... Yeah. So the Spotrac market value for Rangers, 6 years, $161.5 million, though. That feels like that's out of the Astros price range.
Unfortunately. It shouldn't be, but unfortunately it does feel like that.
He's currently 30 years old. So you're going to pay him for 6 years where he's 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36. I like Ranger Suarez the player. I don't like that projection, mm-hmm. that projected contract. I probably wouldn't go more than 4 years for Ranger Suarez. Framber, we're kind of dismissing Framber. Dylan Cease, they have a market value of 6 years, $158.5 million.
Okay.
Which is 26 AAV. Again, it's a 6-year contract for a guy who's about to turn 30. That probably takes him out of the Astros price range, we think.
Yeah.
So, like, if no Suarez, if no Cease, if no Framber, and you're shopping in the free agent market, there's really only 1.5 guys I like.
Okay.
The one that I like the most is Brandon Woodruff, who, mm-hmm. whenever he's pitching, he didn't pitch last year because he was hurt. This year, he did miss some starts because he was still recovering, and he's actually not pitching in the postseason right now because of a lat strain. But whenever he's on the mound, he is nasty.
Mm-hmm.
He is very, very good. Spotrac doesn't have a a market contract for him. They do have a market AAV. So, like, again, the years matter in this whole deal. Like, that's something that will come into play because it always comes into play when you talk about the Houston Astros. But Woodruff's projected AAV from Spotrac, I think, is more reasonable than the other guys. I don't think it would be as long-term as the other guys because he's going to be 33 years old next year. His market AAV, 17. It probably costs 20. I think you could get him around 75 for three.
See, I was going to say 480.
Okay. That's, okay, 480, 75, three. Like,
so,
either
so
one
he'll
of those.
Be, so he would be, you know, 30, what, 37 when that ends?
Yeah, and you're not married to him. Well, 4 years, yeah. No, he'd be 36, 34, 33, 34, 35, 36.
Math.
Yeah.
Not good at it. Not good at it. Not good at it.
I prefer the 3 years, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think he's in the Astros, like, price range. I mm-hmm. think he's in the Astros, like, term limit, because they're not going to go 5-6 years on these starters.
Yeah.
Unless you're Josh Hader. But Josh Hader's a little bit different, because he wasn't making $25 million a year. These starting pitchers are going to make $25, $30 million a year. So Woodruff at 20 to 25 AAV, 3 to 4 years, I think that's the play. And he's filthy. He's nasty. He's easily your second best stuff guy in your starting rotation.
So that's one.
Yeah, that's what, the
what's,
one.
What's the half?
The half is Zach Gallen. So he was really bad like the first two-thirds of the season, but he actually finished kind of strong.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can, if you believe in that, if you believe in his finish, you still believe in his stuff, and you can get him at like a reasonable price where you're not overspending for a guy who was not that great this year. Like, his projected AAV is 19. He's 30 years old. Like, what? Could you get him for 60 for three? Like, that could be somebody who would be an option. I wouldn't feel great about Gallen because of his 2025 season, mm-hmm. but did finish stronger. I would be – Woodruff's my favorite. Like, what I consider realistic. Because I don't think Fromber, Ranger Suarez, and Dylan Cease are realistic.
What do you think Flaherty would get if he opted out?
Yeah, I looked at Flaherty, man. His stuff is not good.
Yeah, like the player that I'm most intrigued by that could, in theory, be a free agent this year, that's most likely not going to be because the Brewers are going to pick up his option. But the Brewers don't pay people.
Yeah.
And I wonder, because I know this organization pretty well, they're cheap, but they're excellent.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to move on from Freddie Peralta.
No, they would pick up his option and trade him.
That's what I'm saying. Like, can you trade for him? Like, you're not going to get him in the market.
I think they will trade him.
Like, that to me is the guy, like, where it's like, you look at where he's at with his contract. Of all the players that are on this list that could be available via options,
mm-hmm.
he's the one that's most likely to be traded. I would move heaven and earth for Freddie Peralta.
He's really good.
He is one of the most underrated pitchers in baseball. He is nasty.
Yeah. I mean, there's some trade options that I like. Like, Joe Ryan would be a trade option that I like. They might move him because the Twins move everybody. Peralta's really good. I only looked at the free agents.
Yeah.
But no, you're right. Peralta's really good. I do predict that they will, because they trade players before they enter free agency.
Mm-hmm.
I think they will trade Freddie Peralta this offseason. They'll pick up the club option and they will trade him.
Yeah, the only other guys on this list that I was looking through, I mean, I'm open to the idea of Verlander or Scherzer. If they're not your only option.
I'm not sure.
I really like Zach Littell.
Yeah, I looked at him today. I'm not.
I think for like where he's at, like value wise, if he's part of your collection that you bring in, because I think it's he can't be the only guy you bring
yeah,
in.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of his.
Really, not at all.
Hmm.
But it's not a good market this year. I don't think Chris Sale is going to be available.
No, they'll pick up his option.
It's only $18 million.
So I think Zach Littell is like a better version of Jason Alexander. Like, I don't think he really adds too much to you.
Yeah.
So, and then the guy we got asked about yesterday was Michael King. But Michael King is like, he's dealt with like injuries to his shoulder.
Has he been in and out of the rotation?
I think he's more of like a San Diego baby too, because it's a great park to pitch in.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in Michael King. I have three back of the rotation inning eaters.
Okay.
Because I don't mind a back of the rotation inning eater. I think I would like Brandon Woodruff and a back of the rotation inning eater. Now, I'm spending Jim Crane's money, but there was three guys who stood out to me. One was Verlander. Like, mm-hmm. I don't mind Verlander, you know, back of my rotation inning eater. Now, he's probably going to price himself out, but if he's willing to do business, okay, let's talk. Merrill Kelly would be a back of the rotation inning eater I don't mind, and Chris Bassett would be a back of the rotation inning eater I don't mind.
I like all those guys.
If you give me Woodruff in one of those three, I will praise Dana Brown.
Mm-hmm. What about where'd he go here? What about Hauser?
Not really big on Hauser.
Okay.
No.
I think
he started off hot
yeah.
and was really bad once he got traded.
Mm-hmm. I think Bassett's probably I think he's probably the most realistic of the back of the rotation guys or the inning eater guys.
He's your number five.
Yeah, I'm really fascinated by Justin Verlander this offseason because I think he's going to chase a championship.
See, I think he's – I don't know. I think he's going to stay in San Fran. I think San Fran's going to give him another $15 million contract.
I think he's going to be a Dodger.
Wow. That would suck.
I think he's going to be a Dodger.
I'd rather him stay in San Fran.
Me too. But, like, they're going to spend money. We know they are. They've got pitching injuries left and right. Like, I think he's going to be a Dodger.
Man, I hope you're wrong on that.
That'd I hope I'm wrong, too.
That'd be very disappointing. Corey says, I would kick the tires on Cease, Gallen, May, and Bassett. Yeah, I don't really like the May part of that. The other three, okay, let's kick those tires. I'm totally okay with that. Need to get Yordan to play first so Paredes can be the DH and Correa can stay at third and get rid of Walker. Yordan's not playing first.
That's over.
They tried to do that in the minors, and he was awful at it. He can't play first.
I mean, they don't even – like, there's, like, one day each spring training where McTaggart will take a photo of Yordan Alvarez grounding balls at first base, and people will freak out. And, like, that's the extent of it. He's not going to be a first baseman.
No, he's not a first baseman.
But I think it's way more likely the Yiner would be at first base than Yordan.
I would agree with that.
Like,
neither is going to happen, but I would agree that's more likely. Yeah. All right, 713-780-3776. You can tell the starters you like. Also, when we return, who would you bet on being the next Baker Mayfield, the next Indiana Jones, the next Sam Darnold? Who's that retread quarterback that is going to be the next, I don't want to say big thing, but good thing? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.